oil and gas-fired boom has powered a construction frenzy in the Gulf, turning it into one of the most powerful emerging markets in the world. Meanwhile, a week of shocks to the US financial sector has rewritten Wall Street's legacy. Are Gulf economies insulated from America's financial fallout, or do they in fact face their own set of unique problems? Boom time in the Gulf, but for how long? This is Inside Story. Hello, I'm Kamal Santamaria. Welcome to this special edition of Inside Story, coming to you from high above the burgeoning skyline of the Qatari capital, Doha. It is a skyline replicated right across this region, and indeed it tells a similar story to the rest of this region, one of booming economies, tearaway growth and high levels of investment. But you know, just a week ago, the markets here in the Gulf were nursing losses of around 17%, wiping out their gains for the year. In fact, so bad it was in the United Arab Emirates that the central bank there had to pump some $14 billion into its own market just to get the financial wheels moving again. The cause of it, of course, the US financial meltdown. So it comes back to that fundamental question. Is the Gulf region, with all its oil and all its investment, is it insulated from those problems, or does it have its own set of problems? Our correspondent Hashim Ahlbarra is in Abu Dhabi. He's been having a look at the effect of the global financial meltdown there.
Abu Dhabi, until recently it was overshadowed by neighboring Dubai, known worldwide for its grandiose projects. But all that seems set to change. The screen is red, not a good day for investors in the Abu Dhabi stock market. These two businessmen are telling me a new reform of the stock market has become a necessity to avoid further downturn. Riding on windfall profits from record high oil prices, the Emirate has become a regional financial superpower.
Fearing more turmoil in the global financial system, the UAE has pumped $14 billion into the banking sector. But the UAE is thinking far beyond a rescue package for its stock markets. It has already embarked on a quest to diversify its sources of revenue.
Abu Dhabi's state-run investments have bought Manchester City Football Club, acquired a stake in Ferrari, General Electric, Carlyle and Citigroup banks. Only recently, a local telecommunications company, Etisalat, acquired a 45% stake in the startup Indian mobile operator Swan Telecom. The deal is estimated at $900 million. Now, another company, the Abu Dhabi Media Company, is vying for dominance in the entertainment industry. With $1 billion to spend, the company is pushing to become one of the world's top producers of feature films and digital content.
A year ago, we did a deal with Warner Brothers, and that deal was to create content for films and video games. And so the new investment in content is really a is an extension of that strategy to continue to create content for the global marketplace, which in the digital age is certainly something that that a company in Abu Dhabi can participate in.
For critics, the whole thing is nothing more than a buying spree. For others, it's a smart move to find alternative ways of generating income when oil deposits are depleted.
The world is becoming much smaller. Everybody is linked to everybody. Whenever we see a problem in the financial system in the US, we see it rippling across the world, whether it's Asia or even here, Middle East, or even here in GCC. Diversification of their investments, of the surplus that we've seen generated by the excess income from the oil market has been very important for them to go and diversify it into areas to make sure that when those oil prices, if they do in the future, as we've seen probably 10 years ago, go down, that there are other sources of income to make sure that the development cycle does not stop or slow down in those times.
Most of the Gulf state-run funds and investment companies have been sharply criticized by experts who urge that they be taken over by the private sector to improve their investment performance and increase transparency. Such calls have been shrugged off by local authorities. For them, the scale of their ventures show an emirate keen to become one of the main investors in the global economy. Hashim Ahlbarra, Al Jazeera, Abu Dhabi.
So joining us today for this special edition of Inside Story are our guests, Dr. Ibrahim Owais. He is a professor of economics at Georgetown University. Also, Mahmoud Al-Khalidi. He is the head of asset management at United Gulf Financial Services. And finally, Shashank Srivastav. He is the director of strategy at the Qatar Financial Center. Gentlemen, my thanks to all of you for joining us. So we've got a global economic crisis at the moment, essentially, or that's what we're being told. Dr. Ibrahim, we call it global. In your opinion, is this part of the world better insulated from that crisis?
Of course, this part of the world is affected by it, but I would not really consider this problem global because Japan, for one thing, is really has not been affected at all by it, and also some, and China has not been affected by it. So it's not really global.
But this particular part of the world?
But in this part of the world, yes, it has, for many reasons. The first reason, I think, because of the exchange between this market and the European and the American markets. Furthermore, that the financial indicators in the United States serve as a benchmark here in the region. And thirdly, that the news from the most important country in the world, that is the United States, had definitely an impact here. And fourthly, because of the Qatari rial and the currencies in the region here are tied up with the dollar.
Exactly, and we're going to talk more about that in a moment. Mahmoud Al-Khalidi, I'd like to ask you a similar question. Do you think it's been that bad, especially when, as I read in the press, $14 billion gets pumped into the markets in the United Arab Emirates? That took me by surprise because I think there's a feeling almost that in this part of the world, it's money is very easy to come by, and it's pretty much rich men putting their hands in their pockets and being able to sort out any problems.
Well, I guess for the regional equity market here, the last couple of months, basically since June, we've seen a downside trend, like a free fall, actually 30% or more in some markets, which is like, and the interesting part of it was fast and furious in some markets, like in Emirates, especially Dubai, DFM. I guess in international standards, you have here, according to World Wealth Report, around 300,000 ultra-high net individuals. By definition, they are $10 million plus net worth. And you have around the GCC economies will spend around $1.3 trillion the next 5 years for developing infrastructures, expanding their capacities in the hydrocarbon industries. Part of that's going to be $250 billion. So yes, every now and then we used to see foreign investors coming to the region and flirt with the region. But now the last couple of years, we're seeing more institutional investors coming into the region. And some of them, they are long-term investors, and some of them are short-term investors, like the hedge funds. So you have the good and the bad coming to the region, actually.
Shashank Srivastava from the Qatar Financial Center. Dr. Ibrahim made the point about the dollar earlier. Pegged to the dollar here, not everyone may be aware that we are pegged to that particular rate here, being 3.65, I think it is. Is that proving more of a problem than anything else? And is that something that we should really be looking at changing in this part of the world?
Well, a number of economists have said that we should look at changing that. But from a macroeconomic perspective, I think the peg to the dollar primarily is going to increase the inflationary pressures that we have here. In the short term, I see that definitely being the case.
And you make that very good point there about inflation, because I would suggest that global economic crisis or not, inflation is the real issue that we're looking at. Let's use Doha as an example. Prices have certainly gone up, and it's making it prohibitively difficult for a lot of people in this part of the world.
Well, that's true. And also, the impact on financial institutions is quite interesting because you have double-digit inflation in the region, whereas you have single-digit prime lending rates. So in effect, you're looking at negative real interest rates. So if I was a corporate, I'd be issuing bonds right now.
Dr. Ibrahim, inflation, what can be done about it? Shashank's just told us about double-digit inflation, which is it's difficult for any country to deal with. How can it be controlled, at least, if not brought down?
Well, it has to be affected by a very sound monetary policy concerning the supply of money, because that is a macro problem. It is not really a matter of a rise in the price of one commodity or a rise of price in another commodity. It's not the micro part that we're dealing with. It is the overall rate of inflation. And this rate of inflation has to be affected by a monetary policy in which the traditional weapons of the monetary policy has to be used.
What's a traditional
in every respect. The first weapon is that the supply of money has to be growing at a steady rate and not at the rate that we have witnessed in the last few years. The tremendous expansion in infrastructure and buildings and so on and so forth necessitated pumping more money into the market. And therefore, the money supply had increased substantially. And in my opinion, and this is a problem that I had, in fact, advised the government here in Qatar about it way, way back since I came to Qatar in 2005. Beware of the inflation, because inflation is rapidly increasing. The second weapon is that the use of what is known as the discount rate, which or the interest rate. And the third would be the intervention of the central bank with the commercial banks to follow or to pursue a sound policy for loaning up and borrowing.
Okay, so then, let me put it to Mahmoud Al-Khalidi. Do you think that this high level of inflation, we're looking at about 14% here in Qatar, do you think it's actually going to start putting people off coming here, investing in the country, because they know that that level of inflation is so high and the tearaway growth that we're seeing, it's just going to be too difficult to survive here?
You mean investors or expats?
Well, let's put it both, because they both bring something to the place.
I think inflation right now is the sideline of fast economic growth. This is something we should used to it. This is the price we pay when you have accelerated growth, enormous growth in the region for the last 3 to 5 years. And there is more to come, because GDP in Qatar, for example, is going to double, because LNG capacity in Qatar will double. So eventually, inflation is not imported factor, it's more internal demand. And it's more a local story.
Final thought then, just from Shashank Srivastava, before we go to the break. We've been talking about some of the issues, not just unique to Qatar, but around the globe and around the region. One more issue I want to bring up with you, regulation, because that is something which the Qatar Financial Centre has to do with here, obviously. And that's been a problem overseas, the lack of regulation for a lot of the financial institutions. It's proved to be a problem. Is it going to be a problem here as well, given that you're following a lot of UK and US models, which have been proved, which they've found to be wanting quite recently?
Well, it's a mixed bag, as with most of these things. Across the region, I would say there are pockets of excellence as far as regulation is concerned. We ourselves, the Qatar Financial Centre, is one of those. But also across the region, you will not find that these regulations are widespread, or the jurisdiction of these spans various jurisdictional boundaries, for instance. But having said that, yes, the regulations need to be world-class. Yes, the regulations need to be smarter regulations. There's always this debate about rules-based and principles-based regulation. At the QFC, of course, we're following the principles-based regulation. So you can work around rules, but it's very difficult to argue against principles. So it's good regulations rather than more or less regulations, which is important. And to keep an eye on the ground and the focus around that.
Okay, then, gentlemen, we're going to take a short break. Do stay with us here on this edition of Inside Story. When we come back, we're going to look at the role of foreign investment in the Gulf and also the role of Gulf investment in the rest of the world. Do stay with us.